This is Lawyers Who Needs Them on TalkZone.com. Back to your hosts, Jim and Randall.
Welcome back to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonet.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
I got so carried away by that music. I was just listening there. A few seconds, I forgot where I was. Anyway, we welcome you back to Lawyers Who Needs Them. This is our first show on TalkZone Radio. We hope you are enjoying it. And if you're not, right in quickly. Say, stop this insanity. Stop the insanity. Anyway, I just want to give you a couple of phone numbers in case you'd like to call in with a question, and we take your questions. If you're at work, you know, go someplace where it's private. You can call us, and we won't tell anyone you called. 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-463-6748. Or if you're outside of North America, 011-847-4700-0937. I got all out of order there. Let's start again. It's just too many numbers for me. 011-847-470-0937. They're used to that in Australia. Anyway, now, if you're shy, like my partner, and you want to get us a question, you can do that by simply clicking on the question line right now on the TalkZone website that says Lawyers Who Needs Them. There's a little question button. Or you can go right to the major official site of Lawyers Who Needs Them. That's lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. And you can leave us a question there, and we will be happy to answer your question on next week's show. Now, speaking of questions, it's now time for Listeners' Questions.
And now it's time for the main event.
All right.
You're a funny guy, Sully. I like you. That's why I'm going to kill you last.
Yeah, I guess you could do that. The sound effects machine has gone out of its mind.
Yes.
Yes.
As my co-host.
Right.
Don't worry. He doesn't have a mind to get at it.
That's right. And that's the problem.
He hasn't heard from it for years. Right.
That's the problem. Okay. Wonderful. Are you ready for some questions? Do you have your professor's
I do.
With it. You should see it, folks. It's one of those professor.
It's a mortarboard.
That's right. It's a mortarboard.
Only mine has mortar on top, and it's very heavy.
You have a block of cement. That's what you have. All right. Here we go. First question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Trent.
Right.
From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Right. Right.
Dear Jim and Randall, what are the main reasons a judge denies bail to a person who is accused of a crime?
There's really only one reason bail is or should be denied, and that is if the defendant seeking the bail is a flight risk.
Okay.
Bail is not intended to protect the public. I know there's a lot of debate on this, but intended to protect the public from some yo-yo that is going to run out and do things. It basically to ensure it is to ensure your appearance at court.
That's it.
For your trial or for any pretrial proceedings. Now, you may say, why would the bail in that case be more if the crime is more severe? Well, because the motivation to flee is greater if the crime is more severe. But basically, bail is to ensure appearance. And it is the denial of bail is because the defendant is a flight risk.
Now,
is likely to leave the jurisdiction and be unavailable for apprehension and trial.
Now, can a judge have actually the same effect by setting a bail that's just very high?
Well, they do sometimes. If they feel that denying bail altogether would violate the provisions of the Constitution, which say you cannot deny reasonable bail and so forth, they will set it exceptionally high. You can appeal that, and sometimes it is reduced
okay.
if it's set excessively high under the circumstances. But basically, the circumstances always look to the risk of flight, the risk of escape, the risk of leaving the jurisdiction.
Okay, good. That's a good question, Trent. We appreciate you calling in with that, actually writing in. Here's another one. Ted from Mesa, Arizona writes, Dear Jim and Randall, I have three children, and I want to leave them a number of tangible items that have been in the family for a long time. I have been told to write a codicil to my will. What is a codicil? And is it the best way to ensure that my wish to distribute these items is carried out?
Well, if this wish is not included in the original will, the answer is yes, of course, because a codicil is simply an amendment to a will.
Okay.
Understand? It's something that's tagged on to the will. pretty much from the same root as the word coda, something at the end.
Coda, like in music.
Like in music. But okay. This codicil is where you would amend your will. You can add to it, subtract from it, change the will. And yes, this is the appropriate way to do it. And a codicil must be executed with the same formality as a will. And that does vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction.
Okay.
In other words, some states require three witnesses, some two witnesses, something else, some notaries, some not. So whatever the rules are in Arizona for the execution of a will, those rules would apply to a codicil.
Okay.
And must be followed.
Very good. Ted, hope you got that message. All right. What was that, a horse ran through here? Oh, a little...
I'm choking.
Oh, I thought maybe it was a little authoritative phlegm that you were... Yeah, it's okay. He'll be fine, folks. We're sending him air right now. Okay, Bill from Palo Alto, California writes, Dear Jim and Randall, what is the difference between arbitration and a courtroom proceeding, and does the arbitrator have the same powers as a judge?
Well, in some respects, the arbitrator has more power than the judge. That may sound silly, but it's true, and my answer is probably going to be somewhat biased. I am not a great fan of arbitration.
Oh.
I am a great fan of trial by jury. And
I'm a great fan of trial by water.
I know. Trial by battle. But an arbitration is much, much less formal. Procedure is less formal than that of a trial. The rules of evidence do not apply.
Uh-huh.
And that will, of course, depend on the arbitrator or arbitrators. Sometimes it's a single arbitrator. Sometimes you have a panel of three arbitrators or variations of that, and they can decide whether they want to enforce the rules of evidence, the extent to which they want to enforce them. Now, when you say, does the arbitrator have some powers as a judge? Yes, he makes a determination, and usually his decision is confirmed by the court.
Okay.
That is to say, you move to confirm the decision of the arbitrator, and that has the same value as a judgment.
Okay.
Where the arbitrator has more power than the judge, he can make an error in the law, and it's not appealable.
Ah.
The arbitrator does not have to adhere to precedent in the manner in which a judge does. And that's not appealable. The only way you can appeal from an arbitration is that the arbitrator is drunk, incompetent, there was no evidence to support it, stuff like that.
Okay.
But his lack of judgment is not a ground to appeal.
All right. So
in those
some
reasons,
risks with the
right.
arbitrator.
I am not a fan. A lot of people say, well, arbitration is cheaper and it's faster. And I don't agree with it. I mean, I don't agree with them.
Okay.
Arbitration sometimes is longer. Sometimes it's more expensive. And however, I don't want to put my own personal opinion regarding which system I prefer into the picture. But I think I've answered your question.
Yes, you have. You're more than answered. Thank you. That's an answer that goes beyond any other answer. And he's clearing his throat, folks. He'll be all right.
Yeah, with a shovel.
He's doing very well for 98. All right, Francis, last question here. I think we have time for one more question.
Hi, Fran.
Francis from Naples, Florida. She's not live. She's she's in writing.
Did she pass away?
No, she's here, but she's...
Again?
Yeah.
Oh. Tell you about the guy. That was a guy, you know, an old man, who his wife died. So they put her in a coffin, and pallbearers were moving her around, and they hit a wall. And from inside the coffin, they heard, oh, my God. Oh, where am I? So he opened the coffin and let her out. She was alive. So she lived for 4 more years and died again. And they put her in the coffin and they closed it up. Same thing. They went to the funeral parlor and everything. Got the pallbearers lifted up the coffin. And as they were moving, the husband said, watch out for the wall. So where are we?
Well, I think we're going to take Francis's question.
Fran, how you doing, baby?
We're going to save it for next week. We're not going to take it because I want to give Fran our ultimate attention, and we're at that point in the program.
I mean, we used up our...
Yeah, we used
we
up
have
your
to
allotment
give
of time.
We'll
yes,
have to try
we'll
to
work
give
on that next
a
week.
A little more time.
But
for
it
the
is time,
to call in.
At this point, yes. For this week's Simon Hart Award. This week's Simon Hart Award goes to... Let's see. It doesn't go to that fellow. It does. It goes to, where does it go?
19-year-old.
I got it here. Hang on. Hang on. I'm ready. I'm sorry about that.
It's the only thing that's scripted for the whole program. And
you
can't
get it. All right. Here we go. This week's Simon Ward Award.
You got the right focals
on
your glasses.
I got it.
I think you're looking through the wrong focal.
That's what happened. I was on focal.
That's what they call a focal point.
Can I start again?
Yes.
All right. This week's Simon Ward Award goes to 19-year-old David Bonfossen. Now, pay attention. A Tampa, Florida teen who, while driving his mother's car, reached out of the window and grabbed the buttocks of a female jogger. The car sped off, but the woman was able to get the license plate number.
Our information has it that the jogger was a Hillsborough County Sheriff's deputy.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Van Fossen was charged with lewd and lascivious behavior, reckless driving, culpable negligence, and misdemeanor battery.
That's about it.
In his defense, Van Fossen told the judge that he was only trying to guess her weight.
You know, I don't think it'll hold up. I'm not sure, but I don't think it'll hold up.
That's right.
All right. Well, you have managed, ladies and gentlemen, to waste a perfectly good hour listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them. We want to introduce our crack crew. Of course, our orchestra leader, Professor Stanley Staccato.
And
our meteorologist, Gail Force.
And
our sports reporter, I'll pick it up from here, our sports reporter, Crash Dugenhausen.
Our studio engineer, Dynamite Dave Olson.
Our producer, Chris Confounded All Wedding.
Our sound effects specialist, Horatio Heart Attack Wingate.
Our technology advisor, Ms. Laverne Lazarino.
Our legal historian, Sir Edward Faversham III.
Good fellow.
Yes, Oxford, you know.
Really?
Yes, always wears the shoes.
Oh, our hair and makeup specialist, Ms. Georgia Peachbuzz.
Our medical advisor and professor of proctology, Dr. Seymour Guts.
Our director of impressionism, Mademoiselle Camille O'Contraire.
And our Italian limo driver, Mario Giustinatima.
He's a Giustinatima.
Giustinatima.
Here he comes. Here he comes.
Giustinatima.
Giustinatima. Well, folks, you've survived another Out Front Lawyers Meeting. We want you to have a great week. Be kind to your neighbors. Remember, it's the best thing to do is to be kind to your neighbors. And no matter what happens, don't sweat the small stuff.
And remember, folks, it's all small stuff.
That's all, folks.
Every hour of every day, an American is diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. MS typically strikes between the ages of 16 and 50 when people are building careers and raising families. Today, there is no known cause or cure for MS. To learn more about this unpredictable disease, to volunteer, or to make a contribution to this important mission, please call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. You can make a difference by helping us stop this devastating disease. Please call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. Fight MS today. Thank you.